This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. Talk to anyone in the field of addiction treatment and recovery, and one thing you will hear is there are no quick fixes. Given that, what do successful recovery models look like? One place to look is right here in Cincinnati at First Step Home, which is now in its 25th year. The residential programs that First Step Home has developed speak to the necessity of time and the importance of relationships in finding a response that addresses the challenges of addiction. I am joined today by the 1993 co-founder of First Step Home, Annie Bennett, the current president and CEO of First Step Home, Margot Spence, who has led the organization since 2001, and Tanya Lauterbach, who is a First Step Home client. To join our discussion, call 513-419-7100 or email talk at WVXU. We are also on Facebook and Twitter. Annie, let's start with you since you started this whole process back in 1993. That was pre-opioid situation. What was happening at that time that caused you to create what becomes First Step Home?
Well, I myself am a recovering alcoholic, so I have been in the program 30 years this year. And when I got into the program, it was like such a freedom, like the monkeys off my back, you know, not to be dependent on a substance. And it was such a gift. It's a gift you want to give to others. And so a lot of us that get into recovery, we want to become counselors. So I ended up going back to school and getting the graduate program, getting a master in social work.
So that's post-recovery that you got those degrees?
Yes.
So, okay.
Yes.
All right.
And so then I had a research class, and I did one of my projects, I did a needs assessment in the greater Cincinnati area to identify gaps in services to women. At that time, there was also Allstate Insurance Company in the Junior League was doing a national and regional studies around the country and regional on identifying gaps in services to women. And the top priority was substance abuse treatment that included child care. So we had the data. So we got a little group of people together, mostly in recovery, some not, and started to raise money and look for a place to start a program. So we ended up, I think we had about $30,000, and we leased space from St. Michael's Church in Lower Price Hill, the Camboni House. It was actually attached to the church. And so then I start working down there full time, writing grants and raising money to bring the building up to code. We had to do institutional use code if we wanted to have a certified program. Anyway, in the meantime, you can take in under six unrelated people and not comply with the building code. So that's what we did. All volunteer Prospect House and Men program up in Lower Price Hill. They sent us counselors and food, and we all took turns spending the night. And then we eventually brought the building up to code. And we really believed in long-term treatment. So much was outpatient, quick fix. And we knew that so many of our women, they lack education, criminal histories, no job skills. So we fought for long-term. As a result, we had a long-term waiting list. I mean, a long waiting list. So we ended up buying the property in East Walnut Hills and renovated that, which expanded services. And then we saw where even after long-term treatment, a lot of women were back in the same neighborhoods, old boyfriends. You know, they even needed longer. So then we bought three apartment buildings on Liberty Street. And so that went really well. And then Margo took over in 2001, and under her leadership, the program has just blossomed. So it's just awesome.
Margo, one of the things that Annie just talked about was the connection between the women who want to enter the program and their children. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that, as far as I understand, First Step, it may not be unique, but it certainly is leading the way in understanding what that relationship is. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure, Dan. We have really built on the dreams and the mission of the founders of the organization. The connection with children and the moms is very important. Moms feel that they need to have a safe place for their children, and often that's with mom. So we were the only agency back in 2001 that allowed women to enter treatment with their children up to the age of 12, and we continue to be one of the only agencies, especially in this area, that allows women to bring their children with them up to the age of 12. So safety is a very important issue for women, and having their children with them is part of that.
Because they may not, women may not have family who could take care of their children while they're in recovery. Is
absolutely.
That right?
And we try to remove as many barriers as possible so that women feel comfortable going into treatment.
I know that that also applies to women who are pregnant.
Absolutely.
And so they might be waiting for a child and then have the opportunity to bond with that child rather than having the child separated
absolutely.
From
them. In the last few years, we've seen a number of pregnant women needing treatment, showing up at our doors, needing a specialized program. So a few years ago, we created what's called the Terry Shanling Home. It has 8 apartments where women can bond, especially with their children, after delivering at Good Sam Hospital. We partner with a lot of agencies in the community to make sure that we're providing wraparound effective services for pregnant and postpartum women.
Tanya, what is your relationship to First Step Home at this point? Or I don't know. I don't know the story. So tell me a little bit about your story.
Okay. So I am a current resident at First Step Home. I have been there since late September. My children are older, so I don't have the experience that the moms that have younger children do. This is my first long-term treatment. The treatment I had before that was a 63-day lockdown treatment, and then I went straight from there to First Step Home, realizing that I needed a longer treatment because, as you stated, short-term treatment doesn't cut it.
So it sounds like you had tried short-term treatment before, and it didn't work?
Well, I knew when I went into that short-term treatment, you know, I'm older. So I knew darn well that that short-term treatment wasn't going to be enough. So I went straight from there to First Step and have had great success with it. I see these younger girls and I see them with their children. It does them very well to have their children with them. I've seen girls that have had their children brought with them there after not having their children, and it's done them great. They've blossomed. I've seen myself blossom there. It's been a good experience. It's been a good experience.
So you've been there since September.
Yep.
Sort of in your mind, how long do you think you might be at First Step Home and feel ready to go back out into the community on your own?
Actually, I'm getting very close. I am actually applying for positions, different jobs, and I am applying to get a position so I can move into sober living, which is my next step. I could be in sober living as much as 6 months, but I'm not planning on doing that. I would like to be out of sober living within 3 months and out on my own.
Is your addiction to alcohol?
Alcohol and cocaine.
Alcohol and cocaine.
Yes.
Okay, so not
opiates.
Okay. You know, Dan, that's one of the things that's really changed over when the initial program mostly dealt with crack addiction. Mm-hmm. I would say 85%. We had some opioid users. In fact, those are the only ones that ended up in fatal situations. But it's just really shifted the demographics of addiction in this area.
Yeah. Marco, for we've been talking about the value for the women to have the children with them. Mm-hmm. How does this work with the children? What sort of support can you provide them so they understand what the dynamics are and what's going on here?
Yeah. We partner with a great organization called Glad House, and they work with the children. We also work with the Children's Hospital with a number of nurses because it is a family disease, and it isn't just about mother, it is also about the family.
The family children, dynamics, the you mean?
Family dynamics. Not only the child that's with mom, but also significant others, family members, and so forth. We provide education, we have an on-site daycare, we provide parenting, and a lot of services directed at mom being a good parent. as well.
And as you observe, and you don't have your children with you, Tanya, mm-hmm. but as you, over the years, Annie, have observed the children who have lived at First Step Home for some period of time, how do they come out the other end? What do you think that experience really is for them?
I think it's more the bond with the mother,
yeah.
you know, because attachment disorders are very hard to mm-hmm. work through in older children. And so when they can learn to attach in a healthy way and just have that period in their life when they are feel safe, protected, mm-hmm. nurtured, you know, sometimes they haven't had that. And the clients need that too. The mothers need that as much as the children. And then they learn to
well, that's what I'm trying
attach
to sort of figure out.
In a healthy way.
Yeah. Sort of the mother's need is kind of clear in some sense.
You know, Dan, you can't give what you don't have. And I think so many women, if you haven't been parented in a healthy way, how are you going to give that to your children?
Exactly. And so many of the mothers have experienced trauma.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely.
So it's not just about the treatment
That's right.
of addiction, but it's also looking at the entire person that we're working with, dealing with the trauma, the housing, voc ed services. You know, it is just so many other issues.
Yeah, what would you say? Like, Margo, I know so many of the women were victims as children of domestic violence, sexual abuse, physical abuse, and I'm sure it's a high percentage of
yes,
the
women. Yes, absolutely. I would say probably 75% of the mm-hmm. women have yeah. a stated trauma issue
yes.
in their background.
I mean, I've seen children there that, I mean, for lack of better terms, have been terrors. And mm-hmm. have over the past few months that mm-hmm. I've been there have just turned into just really good little kids, you know.
So there's a very practical mm-hmm. observation and experience.
I mean, yeah. Right, yeah.
So having their parent, in this case their mothers, sort of get control of things,
mm-hmm.
they too
exactly
experience something. You know, one of the problems that we hear with the opioid crisis is there's just a lack of beds. There's a lack of services. How large is your organization? How many people can you care for at any one time?
At any given time, we can actually provide services to over 100 women. We can provide services approximately 16 to 18 women in our residential treatment house. And then we have step-down houses. Let's just refer to them as campus housing or better known as transitional housing. Mm-hmm. And then we have what's called sober housing, and that's where women have been able to show responsibility, to have met goals and objectives, are out in the community working, and are school. So we provide a whole continuum of care for women, residential treatment, as well as housing, voc ed services.
Okay. And Tanya, you were saying that your goal is not to spend too much time in the sober housing. You want to move out.
Correct.
Into.
Correct.
Yeah, for a whole bunch of personal reasons
right.
or whatever.
Right.
We have a caller who has called in, Jimmy, and I think has a question that furthers our discussion here. Jimmy, what's your question?
Yes, how you doing, Dan?
Very good.
Okay. Hey, Dan, here's my question. These treatment centers are very fine. They're great projects. However, my question to them is this. Have any survey, any information been given as to when a person leaves that facility and treatment, has there been a survey on do they do relocation of their families, people, places, and things? Do they recommend a new neighborhood, a new part of town, a new area? Do they set up and go out and pre-find a neighborhood different than the neighborhoods they were into? Does this service provide a different environment for family and recovery?
I think that's a really good question and references something that was hinted at earlier. But what's your role, Margo, in helping people who are ready to leave First Step Home find the right place to live, which may not be the same place they lived before they came.
Right. And that's a major part of recovery, long-term recovery finding safe, sober housing in the community, affordable housing, and that is very, very difficult. We have case managers that work effectively with the women that complete our program and that want to go into different neighborhoods so that they can, you know, live in a safe environment. So we find that that's very important, and it is definitely part of the services that we help women with at First Step.
What about just generally following up with women who have been there? What sort of continuing contact do you have, Annie? Or?
Well, no, and following what Margo is saying, too, and I think First Step Home really gives women a foundation to become self-sufficient mm-hmm. and make healthy choices. And that's because you want them to make their choices, but you want them to be healthy. But supporting them in that.
So what you're saying is you're not going to place them in a place
that's
that
right.
they don't have
that's
any.
That's right. Okay. But that they have right. choices. They get an education, or they get their job skills, or they kind of get themselves on their feet, that they can decide, you know, not have to go back into the neighborhood with the drugs and violence and whatever.
Right. There's still women that have graduated that are still, you know, if they are willing to put the effort forward, they're still coming there, you know, for the groups, and they're still getting the support from First Step. Just because they've graduated and they've moved on doesn't mean that First Step's saying, oh, no. They're still there for them if they want it. They still get the help.
And that's a very good point, because we're always available to provide support right. services. But to get back to your question concerning the survey, I wish that I could say that we had the resources to follow people for a year, 2 years, 3 years after completing First Step Home. That's an area that we certainly would like to enhance and to have staff that could do that. But you know, that's an area of concern for us.
I think we all know that addiction is tough to
Absolutely.
Break. And that a lot of people who seem to recover may fall back again. What happens if someone who has been with you for a significant period of time, and that's the point about, what's the average amount of time, by the way?
It really varies. I would say as far as our residential program, it is now due to Medicaid regulations. Our treatment program house is approximately 30 days, and then our housing 6 months to a year, and some folks have been there longer than a year.
Okay,
it
so.
Really depends on when they are ready to be able to afford to go out into the general community.
So what happens if a person relapses and presents themselves again? Are you still working with that person?
In most cases, yes. But often we're not the only decision maker. Someone may be on probation or parole, and that determination has been made by the court. If you relapse, this is what will happen. But anymore, there aren't that many spaces to be able to say, if you relapse, you're going to jail or something like that. So we continue to work with individuals. Our relapse is probably just the same as someone that has difficulty with diabetes and going off of their plan and having a relapse, I'm going to term it, as far as difficulty with staying to the regimented program of being a diabetic.
You know, one of the good things about First Step Home, too, and is it really integrates you into the recovering community.
Correct.
And that is so important. Going to those 12-step meetings, getting a good group of recovering women friends. I mean, we always say stay out of relationships for a year.
Right.
You know, get a good group of women friends that can support you. And that's just crucial to staying sober.
You know, we've been talking about women, mothers. Are fathers in this picture at all? Is there any room for them to play a role here?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And you want to talk about that, Tanya?
Yes. You know, the women, First Step Home does encourage the fathers being in the picture. And if it's a healthy relationship, of course. There are some instances where that's not appropriate and it's not a good thing. But First Step Home encourages family. And that doesn't just mean mothers and their children. It means the family, you know. And we do see where the mothers and the fathers, you know, they're going to court, they're trying to work things out, they're trying to get things situated for the children. It's, you know, it's all about the children. It's mm-hmm. what's going to make, that's part of it with the recovery. And sometimes that means that, you know, the mothers and the fathers have to do their own separate recovery too. So, but that's my take on it. Yes, you know, that's what I see.
Absolutely. And what we're trying to do, and this has been new for us, we're working with a community group of having fathers' meetings there on First Step Homes campus as well. The fathers of the mothers
that are in residence. Mm-hmm.
That are appropriate, yes. Right.
Okay. It's definitely a family disease.
Yes.
There's
right.
no question. Yeah.
So, in some cases, the women may be working through whether that relationship is savable, viable
yes.
into the future.
Correct.
And it may not be appropriate. In other cases, it might be.
Right. That is true.
And you can put all of that back together. So where are you headed in the future? I you know, First Step Home, before I knew about it, it's tucked away in plain sight, but it's not a high-profile mm-hmm. organization. So you're already pretty large.
Yeah.
But where are you going in the future?
Well, our desire is always to look at the trends of the community, the needs of the women that need drug and alcohol support. You know, we've extended our services over the last years to address mental health, to expand our housing, not because we wanted to be landlords, I always say to people, but because women have a very, very difficult time finding safe, affordable housing in the community. We are also looking to provide a medication-assisted therapy on site so that the women don't have to go to different clinics. All that can be taken care of on our grounds. So whatever we can do to solidify a woman's recovery and that she can get everything that she needs within the campus that we provide. So
yeah, I love that about First Step Home. It's always been driven by client need.
Absolutely.
Like when I was the director there, we didn't do the medication-assisted treatment. There was no need for it. It was mostly the crack addiction. Mm-hmm. We were abstinence-based. But now with this opioid, it just affects the brain so much more. Mm-hmm. And so according to SAMHSA, that's the Substance Abuse Mental Health Administration, best practice is like methadone, Suboxone for treatment of opioid addiction. So you adjust to these things, you know, where you were abstinence-based, now you're doing the medication-assisted treatment, but you have to follow where the client is.
Correct.
Margo was mentioning 12-step programs being built into this. How much of the work is peer-to-peer? It mm-hmm. is the people who are in the recovery programs. So, Tanya, I'm sort of looking to you. You're a little bit older, you say.
Mm-hmm.
I would never.
Thank you very much for that.
Men have to be careful in saying that.
Yes, you do.
You've already said that. So what's the role peer-to-peer here?
Extremely important. I mean, let's face it, we have to do the work. Mm-hmm. They can put all the tools out here for us, but we have to do the work. And if we're not willing to work together and try and help each other and help ourselves, it's going nowhere. And I feel like for instance, me, I'm a leader. I push these girls in my own house, for instance. I push them, you know, we're going to a meeting. I don't want to go. No, we're going to a meeting, you know.
And that's what it takes.
And it does, you know. It's kind of like they say, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes a village to stay sober. Mm-hmm. And somebody's got to do it. And it can't just be, you know, the staff. It can't be administration, mm-hmm. you know. And sometimes, you know, there's girls that come in and they need that push. And ultimately, though, if they don't want to be sober, they're not going to be sober. But, you know, peer-to-peer support is what it takes.
Okay.
You know? Yes.
Margo, one last question. You're coming up on the 25th anniversary.
Yes, we're very
My understanding is that you're doing something, but tell me a little bit about it.
We're very excited. May the 19th, we will have a benefit. It's the Rose Celebration. In fact, Annie is one of the individuals that we are honoring.
One of the founding mothers?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, you know. And she wasn't only the founding mother, but she continues to be involved with First Step Home, and we're very grateful for that, as well as other founders. And it's going to be held, like I said, on the 19th, and we will honor several individuals. We will have many supporters there, and we're almost at capacity. So we're excited. If you're interested in finding out exactly where it is and the cost, please contact Rachel Lyon at First Step Home.
Okay. And all that information is on our website about
Great.
How to contact First Step Home about either that or about the program. So thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And thank you for the work that you're doing, whether it's very personal, whether it's administrative, at whatever level, peer-to-peer. So thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.